The bracha with which we start the first of the brachos of Kriyat Shema, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, as we've mentioned, the idea of Yetziras Or is because Yetzira is far more sophisticated. It's more about things and how they can be refined and how they are specifically designed to function in a certain way. Bria is creation. Or Yetzira is something which is that individuated to the need of the circumstance. Let's explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Or. And the Tzimtzum, that is the restriction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the limitation that causes that amount of His being to come down into the form, to the physical form of light, is what's called Yetziras Ha'or. That is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is light, He is all-powerful, He is Or. And then that kind of Or which we can see and see with is the Or that's just the tiniest subset of His Or. That's the reason why the nature of this wording is Yetzira, used for Or, Bria, which is more just gross creation, used in the case of Choshech. Now, Choshech was indeed created. We don't understand darkness to simply be the absence of light. Isn't so? That's what it appears to be. But in reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Choshech. Just like anything and everything else was created, where there was, so to speak, nothing. A concept we can't quite wrap our minds around. We can't understand how is it that there was nothing. But if there was nothing, then what was there? And of course the answer is there was nothing. There was nothing material. There was no absence of light. There was no light. There was no darkness. There was nothing. The only thing that existed was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that, again, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't wrap our minds around that either. If we could, He wouldn't be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We wouldn't be people. So therefore we understand, if you think about it, that darkness is not just the absence of light, but darkness was something created. And that's why it says, Uvarei Choshech. And it's something created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that with a certain measure of acceptance and with a certain way of working together with light is emblematic of the idea of Shalom. The very concept of darkness and light functioning one with the other, one leading into the other, slowly, smoothly, one changing, allowing the other, and light overcoming Choshech all the time, and a little bit of light overcoming a lot of darkness again and again each day. All of this represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the universe. Rav Hirsch suggests that that's part of what we are trying to say here, that there is only one creator. There is no master of the darkness or god of the night. There is no kind of a deity of the evil and deity, a god of the good. There is only one creator. There is one master of the universe. And the world is all His. It's unitary. And it all makes sense, even if we can't always appreciate that. That's what the thrust of this bracha is all about. Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech. He fashioned light and made it possible for light to give life and to cause life to exist. He created darkness, but He is one. He is Oseh Shalom. He causes the peace and the working order of both light and dark, of good and evil, to come together so well. Uvorei Es Hakol. Now the real pasuk, as we mentioned, is Uvorei Ra. So in order not to talk in terms that are unpleasant, we change the words from the pasuk where the original in Yeshayahu is uvorei ra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates circumstances that are bad. And it's there referring to Bavel. There it's referring to what he will do to those who deserve to be punished. There's good for those who deserve what's good. There's evil to those who deserve what is not good. But we here are using that pasuk to express the fact that all circumstances are of his making. And we tidy it up a little bit. And we use the Lashon Naki of Uvarei Es HaKol. But the point of it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and he created everything. And that light, ultimately, is this emblematic construct of working toward shalom, working toward peace. Because, as we said, Choshech, which is not just the absence of light, gives way to Or and allows Or to rise to its eminence. And that's the idea of shalom, of giving way, of not battling. You know, there are two ways of achieving peace. You can have peace by defeating an enemy and destroying the enemy. So there's no longer a war because the enemy doesn't exist. Or the enemy can give way and can submit. It's a little bit like, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out, it's a little bit like the way the blessing for Rivka's sake was expressed by Lot, as opposed to the blessing that Moshe gave us. V'yirash zaharacha es shar oivav, as opposed to the way it was expressed. I said Lot? I meant Lavan. I'm sorry. The way Lavan expressed it, V'yirash zaharacha es shar oivav, meaning that you shall defeat your enemy and take what's his, right? As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, Yehi Ritzui Echov, meaning that people should want you and give in to your leadership and desire what you desire. So those are two very different ways of making shalom. And the idea here is that Or and Choshech ultimately achieve shalom without one destroying the other, and without a destructive process. Then the text of the bracha begins with praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is HaMe'ir La'aretz, who brings light to the earth, and it means literally to the earth, to the soil, to the plants, to the trees. Life as we know it, Chazal understood also, comes from the power of the sun. So he is Meir La'aretz, Vila Darim Aleha, and to those who live on this earth, to the people, and to the creatures, to the living beings, Berachamim. But he brings that light to us, Berachamim. Now it's not only Rachamim, because without light there wouldn't be life, but the manner in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the light to us is also berachamim. Can you ever take sunlight suddenly, look up at the sun, take off your sunglasses and be able to see anything after you've looked at the sun? It's blinding. Not to mention how if we would just be what is cosmically a small distance closer to the sun, life wouldn't be possible on this planet. We now appreciate scientifically, we know that if we were a little farther away from the sun, life wouldn't be possible. If we'd be a little closer to the sun, life would not be possible. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachamim said, this is exactly how the planet is to be shaped, and this is where Earth should be, and this is how the position of the sun and Earth vis-a-vis one another will allow life to unfold, and will allow life to be lived. Yes, it's true, sometimes we have a rough winter. We just went through a pretty cold, nasty winter. Can you imagine how cold it would be if we were just a couple of thousand miles farther away from the sun? And if you think it's hot in the Sahara during the summer, do you think life would be possible if we were 50, 60,000 or more miles closer to the sun than Earth really is? Who knows? We probably couldn't make it. We wouldn't exist. So everything is just so finely planned at every aspect of the light of the sun, and the power of the sun, and the rays of the sun, and the magnetic field. Everything is just so perfectly ordered as to allow life as we know it. And the more the scientist understands and studies and appreciates how this all comes together so perfectly, the more they are able to say that this is no accident. This is not an accident. So while he wasn't, for instance, an observant Jew, Einstein was a believing Jew who said this is not all here accidentally. He struggled with the idea of a divine being that cared about what we do and what we don't do. But he looked at all of creation, understood its magnificence, and said, this is no accident. Understood that the world of astrophysics that he was able to master told him that this all is created by some perfect being, by some fantastic otherworldly power, and it's not happenstance. And the more we study that, the more we understand that to think it's happenstance is really not just bordering on the absurd, but it is absurd. Hamel Arts V'la'adorim Aleha Birachamim, who created these lights that give life, and did so with rachamim. Uvetuvo, and then with his goodness, active at every moment, mechadesh b'chol yom, each day, and not just once a day, but tamid, throughout the day, on a constant basis, 365, 24/7, 60 minutes an hour, 60 seconds an hour, a minute, this process of creation. Ma'aseh Bereishis. Because if the divine would not willfully continue to extend existence from himself to all that exists, nothing would exist. The idea of a world existing simply means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, alongside my absoluteness, Yichudo Yisbarach, there will also be a material created world. That willful presence of a created world is something that does not happen once and then continues by itself. It's something that is, so to speak, an extension of that that is him, nanosecond to nanosecond. Now, this is something that cannot relate to us if we think about it as somebody or some creature's desire. That's human desire. This is divine desire. So it's obviously different, because he is not a human or mammalian being. But whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he extends, meaning he allows his existence to change itself in the process that's known Kabbalistically as Tzimtzum, and he causes that there should be, along with his existence, another form of existence, one that extends from and descends from his presence and takes the shape and form of the universe and all that fills it. And that's something that is constant and something that we express at the very beginning of the bracha, and very importantly, since that's what this bracha is all about, express it again at the end of the bracha. And that's why it's at the beginning and at the end. And as we skip ahead to the end of this bracha, to Yotzer HaMa'aros, we similarly read, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Mas Bereshis Kamur Laosei Arim Gidolim Laosei, present tense Hove Laosei Arim Gidolim Ki Le'olam Chasdo. So that's how we understand, as best as we can, the ongoing, constant process, the constant gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I want goodness and I want my goodness to manifest in a material world, in a material universe, in all that fills this universe. He is Mechadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereshis. And of course, it's something inspiring to see, Ma'aseh Bereshis. It's inspiring to understand Ma'aseh Bereshis. And on the molecular level and on the atomic level, people who study these kinds of studies understand that they're looking at the very forces of material existence. When they study the atom, and they study what all material things are composed of, and the dynamics of it all, they recognize, as they look at it, that they're seeing, they're watching, the reality of Bereshis. And it's interesting how, when one looks at that smallest speck of creation, when one tries to understand it in the minutest form, one sees creation. And similarly, when one looks at the vast universe and studies the vastness of the universe and the ongoing effect of the original act of creation, there too they witness that which is, quote, end quote, creation, because they understand that the universe continues to expand, that it's not static, that it's dynamic, and that it has been that way from the moment of creation, Big Bang, call it whatever you wish. And that therefore what they're witnessing when they look at the vastness of the universe and its continuing expansion, what they say they witness is the remnants of creation, the after effect of Ma'aseh Bereshis. It's still ongoing, it's happening. And then, as I said, the person studying, you know, the atomic material on that level also sees Ma'aseh Bereshis. So from the smallest examination of the minutest particles that we can get at to the vastness of the universe as it's studied, what they find and what they see is Ma'aseh Bereshis. They say, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. And we have that obligation. We have an obligation to know and understand as much as we can and to respond intelligently and thoughtfully to everything we can discover and to every bit of it that we can understand, as much of it as we can understand. And say, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to recognize and to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a kiyum of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. And how can you observe a Shabbos without appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Creator? V'yechul HaShemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzva'om V'yechal L'lekim B'yoyim HaShvi. How can you talk about that which He created if you don't at all contemplate what it means? What creation is all about, what this universe is all about. It's an inspiring thing to do. Go to the Grand Canyon. Look out and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Sit a while at the ocean. Look out at the vastness of it. Think about that. See pictures of what Earth looks like from outer space. And just look at it and watch it. And that's, of course, if you're not a scientist. That's just if you're a simple layman. But people who can and understand more, they're going to look at what is, as we just said, HaMechadesh B'tuvoy, who has this ongoing process, this dynamic process of life and of existence, which is so fascinating and so intricate and so clearly an extension of a creator, and ongoing so, His will is causing it all to exist. Ongoing, His will is what is causing there to also be a created universe. you're going to say, Morabu ma'asecha Hashem. Wow. There's no other word. There's no other word. It's a great word. One of the few English words that I really appreciate is wow. Because, you know, it just says, fantastic. Unbelievable. Great beyond my ability to express it. Awesome, exactly. Full of that which is awe-inspiring. It's awesome. Wow. Kulam. All of it. Every facet of creation. And again, we're very sophisticated. We recognize that in our lives and in our planet, in our solar system, there's something called the sun, and that the sun is literally the center of life-giving forces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created for our sake. And so all of this and creation is all something we think about because we say, Hamel Aretz V'Lador Maleh. It causes us to consider all of creation made possible by that central force of the sun. And we look at it and we say, wow, Kulam B'Chachma Asis. And it's a chachma which man is just beginning slowly to have glimpses of. And we're fortunate. We're the people living in the 21st century who already can benefit from that which man has been able to study and achieve and understand. And the curve has come way up over the past 120, 130, 140 years where we're able to understand a lot more than was understood in the medieval ages, certainly, and really understand so much more about what it is when we say the chachma of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Kulam b'chachma asisa. The chachma about which we spoke earlier, which those who are really in touch and in tune with these sciences can really appreciate. We had in our shul once someone from the physics department at Bar Ilan, professor of physics, who actually wrote on how so many theories that scientists now try to develop as to how the universe was created and in what pattern it evolved and how it moved from stage to stage to stage, how it all can be understood by looking at the psukim in the Torah, how the concept of yesh me'ayin is something that now makes so much sense, how the concept of power and force, as we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's ultimate or ultimate power, ultimate force. Somehow became, when concentrated into one point, at one point became the center of what was eventually the birth of a universe, the birth of all that exists. And it's fascinating. And I wish I could understand more of it. There are so many of these great people who study this. The more they understand, the more they say, Marabu Masech Hashem, Kulam B'Chachma Asisa. They're fortunate they have a glimpse of this Chachma that most of us can only try to understand, but it's vast. And Chachma is very admired by human beings, especially by Jewish people. Right? We admire Chachma. We make a bracha when we see someone who has great wisdom, even if that person is not necessarily a Talmud Chacham, but if it's a Talmud Chacham, for sure. We have brachos to be said when we see, you know, great minds and great men. Chachma. Mala ha'aretz kinyonecha. The world is full of everything that you created. So it's nice to come back to saying kinyonecha, and it's all yours. That's not said only with humility. That's said also with a certain salute, a recognition of the fact that it's vast, it's intricate, it's so wonderful that it looks out, that when we look out at it, we say, wow, and then we say, and it's all yours. It remains and forever will be yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mala ha'aretz kinyonecha. And that's why when we look out at the beautiful things in the world, we should do it with a great sense of awe and with a great sense of admiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appreciation of the Chachma, and with a tremendous sense of pride you, Hashem, must have in everything that you created, in your beautiful world. And with a sense of, you know, farginning, so to speak, submitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and admitting it's all yours. And then, in turn, thanking Him and saying, I appreciate being able to be here. I appreciate being able to see that tree and its beauty and the new colors coming out and the sun shining today. I appreciate what this ocean looks like, what those mountains do to inspire me as I look out on them. I appreciate that it's all yours. And thank you for allowing me to see, to witness, and even be a part of what is Mol Ha'aretz, what fills the earth, what fills the universe, Kinyonecha, that all belongs to you.